Hello and welcome to the Doorsteps podcast. I'm Dr. Cody Price and I would like to introduce you all to my guest today, John Dewey, who is the Real Estate Relations Manager in the Office of Home Ownership at the Ohio Housing Finance Agency. John started with OFA in 2011 and worked on OFA's statewide foreclosure prevention effort. In 2014, John became the Real Estate Relations Manager to help promote OFA homebuyer programs. He travels throughout the state and teaches classes to real estate agents and members of the public. He has taught over 6,000 real estate agents. And before OFA, John also worked for the housing consulting firm and has held a real estate license since 2006. He holds a bachelor's degree in urban studies with a concentration in urban planning and geographical information systems from Cleveland State University. So I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Sure, thank you.
And so I want to start off this episode by talking about larger trends and issues that we are seeing with homeownership in Ohio. So how has the homeownership market in Ohio really changed since the housing crisis in 2008, especially for low-income households?
So in 2008, we had an oversupply of housing. So basically, it was extremely difficult to sell your house at that time. For every one buyer, there could be 5 or 10 houses that were on the market. So we had a large oversupply of housing. And then as the economy started going down, it kept getting harder and harder to sell your house. And so prices kept going down and down and down when people trying to purchase houses, where the economy has done a kind of a complete shift in terms of now the price appreciation has significantly gone up over the last several years. And now there's a really high demand of housing out there. So before, it was easy to purchase a house in the sense that buyers had their pick of all the houses out there. Where now, with so many buyers out there, the housing costs have gone up so much in terms of price appreciation. So if you're a low to moderate income home buyer, it's a little bit more difficult now to purchase those houses, but also the credit standards have tightened a little bit for those looking to purchase a house. Since 2008, we've helped about 43,000 home buyers get into their houses with down payment assistance. And a couple of the major things that changed here at OFA was how we fund our down payment assistance. So in the past, we used to fund our down payment assistance a lot through the net proceeds of our profits and put that money back into the program. But as the market kind of crashed, we were no longer able to do that. So now we have a lot of our down payment assistance programs, a 0% second mortgage. And what that means is that they can't sell or refinance a property for a certain number of years. And basically what that allows us to do is break even on our costs of upfronting those down payment funds to help them purchase a house. So that was one of the big changes. And then also our credit scores, increasing those credit scores. We had to do that just to make sure that we weren't too low and that our delinquency rate wasn't too high.
And so what are a lot of these major challenges that these future home buyers are really experiencing?
I think the credit scores definitely have gone up across the board. Even for our agency here at OFA, we've raised our credit scores after the crash to make sure that our delinquency rates stay low, and also just making sure you have the necessary down payment funds to purchase a house.
So how have those really changed over time? Like, do you have like specific numbers of like credit scores, like the range of scores that are acceptable?
Before, we would do between a 600 and a 620 credit score, where we really tighten it up to now it's at a 640 for conventional USDA and VA, and then 660 for FHA. So out there, we're actually pretty high for an FHA loan at a 660. But the credit scores, just because a score is higher, doesn't mean necessarily that it's a harder loan to get. And what I mean by that is with FHA and with conventional, there's different scoring and there's different credit factors that are looked at when somebody's getting a mortgage loan. So they have what's called an automated underwriting system. So FHA has it, conventional has it, pretty much every major type of loan has a automated underwriting system. And so after you submit all your documentation to your mortgage lender, they submit that to an automated underwriting system. And although the credit score is higher for FHA at 660, they're more lenient on other credit risk factors. So for example, if you've had a bankruptcy, after a certain period of years, and I believe it's 2 years, you can go ahead and get an FHA loan 2 years after that bankruptcy has been discharged, where conventional, it might be significantly longer for you to be able to get a loan, or they might look more closely at your debt-to-income ratio. So on a conventional, let's say you're at a 50% debt-to-income ratio, and you try to get it run through the automated underwriting system, and it says on paper that you should qualify. But when they put it through the automated underwriting system, you get a decline, which means you're not going to get approved for that loan. So even though on paper it says you're going to get approved, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get approved until you run through that system. And so we raise our credit scores, and, you know, we still, with whatever loan you're doing, you're going to be run through whatever the standard procedures are with that mortgage loan officer.
And so you're kind of mentioning that credit scores is kind of one of these major issues and challenges that potential home buyers are kind of experiencing. We're seeing this transition from the market of 2008 on the credit scores and what's even being acceptable for a mortgage. And so why do you really think that some people are having better credit scores than others?
Well, I think establishing your credit early is extremely important. So let's say you don't have a car payment. So, you know, one of the first things a lot of people do is purchase a car, and they probably have a car payment too. Help build that credit so they have that monthly payment. You know, you're going to have a car payment most likely before you have your first apartment, where they might be recording your rent towards your credit score or something like that. But making sure, even if you don't purchase a car or anything like that, but you could get a $500 credit card and you put money on that, pay it off every month, and then to show that you have a payment history that, you know, you're paying your credit card on time. And then that's a simple way to build your credit over time. And then also just making sure that your payments are made on time, because when your payments are made on time, those are dinging your credit score every single time.
And so earlier we were talking about the number of loans that's kind of been given out from OFA. And it's just like, so looking at where these loans might be distributed, but where do you think is kind of like the hottest market or neighborhoods in Ohio really for homeownership? Like, what are we seeing statewide?
So definitely OFA, and really outside of OFA loans too. Columbus is the hottest housing market in the state of Ohio. Now, there's definitely specific neighborhoods in the Cleveland area, Cincinnati, Toledo area that are hot neighborhoods to purchase a house in. But overall, as a metropolitan area, the Columbus metropolitan housing market has been consistently ranked in the top 10 housing markets over the last several years. So the housing inventory is extremely low. So, for example, if you're looking to purchase a house right now, it's not uncommon that you're going to be in a bidding war with multiple people. There's going to be multiple offers on a property. There could be a bidding war where prices keep going up. Let's say the purchase price of a house is $200,000, but it actually sells for $215,000 or $220,000 because multiple people are bidding on those properties. And also, the monthly supply of housing is extremely low. Right now, we're at about a two-month supply in the state of Ohio of housing in the Columbus market, as opposed to some of the other areas have higher supplies of housing. But a two-month supply, to give you something to compare it to, an average market is about a six-month supply. A six-month supply means it's not a buyer's market, it's not a seller's market, it's kind of an equilibrium. So to be at a two-month supply means that every house that's currently listed for sale will be sold in the next 2 months. And it's actually a lot lower than that in some areas. So on average, I was reading in the Columbus Realtors, houses below $350,000 are selling in an average of 18 days. So it's extremely fast.
What does that really mean for even like different populations? So looking at a low-income household population, what does that mean for those individuals that are trying to purchase a home? Like, how are they accessing the market?
Well, I think that if you're sitting on the sidelines and not purchasing a home, if you have the resources or ability to do that, I think that that's probably not a good idea, because with the price appreciations going up so much over the last couple of years, in some areas it's going up 7 to 10% each year. So if you wait 2 or 3 years to purchase a house, the valuation could have gone up 30% just in those couple of years. And so that's making your payment higher and your down payment more, and it's going to make it more difficult, especially for a low to moderate income buyer, to purchase that house. So interest rates actually have gone down this year. They weren't expecting rates to go down. Everybody was thinking the rates were going to go up, because typically when the housing market or the economy as a whole is doing well, the interest rates typically start to creep up a little bit, which is good in some ways, because, you know, if interest rates are going up, the economy, you know, it's a sign that the economy is doing well. And so they've actually gone down just a little bit. So rates are still historically extremely low. So your rates are probably not going to get much lower than they are right now if you're looking to purchase a house.
For those that are already kind of living in these neighborhoods or seeing a lot of quick sells, do you see a lot of like turnover then in a lot of neighborhoods? Or how are people that are living in these hot neighborhood markets, do you know how they're really handling the situation?
In terms of how are they selling their house and then finding something else at a higher price point, or what do you mean?
Well, so kind of just getting at, like, if you're living in a hot market neighborhood, I think you're kind of faced with this dilemma that it's just like, do I stay and ride it out, or do I get out and sell my house at probably a premium, and it's probably going to be a quick sell, and then move to another neighborhood? And so do you think that people are really staying and seeing that? I mean, you could have the issues of a lot of people moving in, almost kind of this gentrification effect that it's just like home prices just continue to increase in there. Your property taxes might be increasing, and it might even price someone out of the neighborhood.
I think at the lower price points, it's probably more likely that that's going on. So if, to give you an example, you know, years ago, I purchased my first house. We only stayed there 2 years because in our minds, our kind of our first time buyer house. And so we stayed there for a couple of years. We saw that the market was going up significantly. We could sell and then take that money and put it as a down payment on our next house for, you know, your quote unquote more your forever home or where you want to stay for a long time. So I definitely think, you know, if you're in the lower price points, that's probably more likely where when you start getting into, let's say maybe a $300,000 or $400,000 neighborhood or $500,000 neighborhood, they might be less likely because they're typically not going to see as much price appreciation at that price point than you are at, let's say, $100,000 to $300,000 purchase price point. So definitely in the lower purchase price points, those that are low to moderate income are probably getting hit harder because those valuations of an affordable house are going up significantly. And if you look anywhere in the Columbus area, it can be very difficult to find houses under $200,000 now, where about 7-8 years ago, the average purchase price of a house was somewhere around $160,000, let's say, where now the average purchase price is anywhere between $200,000 and $230,000. That's a lot of appreciation in that short amount of time.
And so kind of like thinking, I mean, we were talking about different income groups of different home buyers, and now like let's getting into kind of different age groups of home buyers. And so there's been a lot of focus on millennial home buying, and like nationally, the home ownership rate among millennials kind of ages 25 to 34 is around 8 percentage points lower than it was for Gen Xers and baby boomers when they were in the same age group. And so we're starting to see more momentum in millennial home buying. And so why do you think this is kind of the case that millennials aren't necessarily wanting to buy a home?
I don't think it's that they don't want to purchase a house. I think it's either one that they financially can't or that they're delaying it to get some of their finances in order before they purchase a house. And I know that was the case when I bought my first house. If I didn't have the student loans and my wife didn't have the student loans that she had, we probably would have purchased a house about 3 years earlier than we did. So, you know, we waited at least 2 to 3 years longer than we wanted to actually wait to purchase that house. And I think with the focus on education right now, with so many people going to get a four-year degree, the millennial generation, and I'm sure it's the same for Generation Z, that we have the highest percentage of those that have bachelor's degrees comparing it to any other previous generation. So if they're also taking out student loan debts, with the average student loan debt across the country being around $39,000, then that's going to be a big factor in you purchasing a house. Is going to affect your debt to income ratios when you go to try to get a mortgage loan, and also just how much money you have on the side to do other things. A lot of people say the term house poor. You don't want to be able just to live in your house and do nothing else besides that. You want to have extra money to fix up the house, or if you want to go on a vacation, or if you want to do other things besides just live in your house. Also, the cost of housing has significantly gone up. So we often hear, you know, things have gotten more expensive. Well, putting some of the actual data behind that, there was one study that I read that showed that between 1988 and 2018, the median cost of housing had risen 42%, and that's adjusted for inflation. So that's a significant increase in the median cost of a house to purchase a house. So not only do the millennials have that student loan debt, but now the actual cost to purchase that house is significantly more than it was 20 years ago.
And so what challenges do you really see in this decrease in young homeowners? We just listed some of the challenges that they might be experiencing and why, like with student loan debt, like how is this really affecting the market then if we're not seeing this younger generation purchase the homes?
Well, I definitely think it's affecting it here in Ohio, but not as much as in other states. So we're still a low cost market compared to some other states like California or New York. And there was a study done by Harvard that showed that in lower cost markets, and the example they gave was Detroit. And in my mind, you know, you think of Detroit or you think of Cleveland, you know, kind of a similar Rust Belt city who's kind of undergone some of the same challenges, that it showed that homeownership rates were about 5% higher in lower cost markets than they were in other parts of the country. So I think the cost is one of the major factors. And you were asking before about why aren't they purchasing? And I think that's one of the biggest reasons. I don't think it's necessarily that they don't want to. It's taken them longer to do that. And think of that in terms of family formations. If you go to college and you have a student loan debt, you're probably, a lot of people are delaying a little bit getting married. If you're delaying getting married, then you're probably also delaying having kids. You're probably also delaying purchasing a house. So, you know, a lot of times those major life decisions kind of fall in a domino, you know, the domino effect of what you want to do with your life.
And so you've kind of talked a lot about these challenges for homebuyers in Ohio. So how can housing finance agencies, what can they really do to address some of these issues and help Ohioans access homeownership opportunities?
A couple of the major things that we offer as a state housing finance agency is down payment assistance and mortgage tax credits. And I can go into a couple more details on some of our programs if you want. So our most popular program is our Your Choice Down Payment Assistance. And this provides 5% down payment assistance towards your down payment, closing costs, and other prepaid expenses incurred prior to closing. So to give you an example, somebody is purchasing a $100,000 house. They're getting their 5% down payment assistance. That's $5,000 towards their down payment and closing costs. Now, is that going to cover everything for them to get into a house? Probably not, but that's going to significantly reduce the amount of funds that they need to actually get into that house. And there's other ways to kind of structure a real estate transaction where, let's say you're getting that 5% down payment assistance, you could actually ask a seller to pay some of your closing costs at closing. So you might be able to get into a house with little money out of pocket when purchasing that house. Another one of our down payment assistance programs, which is somewhat newer, is called our OFA Advantage. And this provides either $1,500 or $2,500 if you fall within 80% or 50% of our area median income. So this is really for a lower income borrower who still has good credit. So this is only for conventional loans. And so typically with conventional loans, you're going to have a little bit better credit. So with the conventional loan, they have to have that minimum credit score of 640. And again, they're going to be looking at other credit factors when you apply for your loan. But what's awesome about this OFA Advantage is that there's no interest rate increase, there's no repayment requirements. With our Your Choice Down Payment Assistance that I was telling you about, there is going to be a slight interest rate increase when you're using that program. With the OFA Advantage, there's no interest rate increase when you're using that down payment assistance grant. So there's really no downside. If you qualified for that $1,500 or $2,500, there's no reason why you wouldn't want to use that down payment assistance grant. Another one we have is our Grants for Grads, and it's similar to our 5% down payment assistance, but this is for those that have graduated college within the last 48 months with an associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate degree. And the key feature of this is that they get a lower interest rate, but also there's more mobility. So as long as they stay within Ohio for the first 5 years, they don't have to pay the assistance back, even if they sold the property. And so that provides a lot more mobility if, for whatever reason, somebody purchased a house and then 2 years later, they decided to take a job out of state or whatever reason, they would not have to pay that down payment assistance back.
And so getting at these different programs that you're kind of talking about, the Grants for Grads, the Your Choice, who is your really your target audience or your buyer for these homes?
So our average borrower is probably about makes around $50,000 a year, and they're purchasing around $120,000 house. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't have higher income borrowers, and our income limits are actually significantly higher than that $50,000 average. So to give you an example, for Franklin County, for a 1 to 2 person family, your income can't be over $93,000. And for a 3 or more person family, you can't be over $109,000. So that's a pretty high income limit for somebody that's looking to purchase a house.
And so what are some of the common questions you receive from potential home buyers about purchasing a home?
One of the most common questions I get is, what do I need to do to purchase a house? And the first major couple steps are, one, meet with a mortgage lender to see what you are approved for. So before you do anything, that's the most important thing. Before you go online and start looking at houses, and the reason is because you don't know what you can really afford until you actually meet with a mortgage lender. So they'll review your credit score, your tax statements, your W-2s, all that type of stuff, and tell you what programs you might qualify for. And also, they can tell you what OFA homebuyer programs you might qualify for also. And so meet with that mortgage lender first, get that pre-approval letter, then take that to your real estate agent who can explain the entire home buying process to you and the steps that you need to purchase a house. Listed on our website are a couple of helpful items, and there's a video on actually how to purchase a house. So all the major steps to purchase a house, it's about a minute and a half video explaining all those steps on there. But also all of our approved lenders that participate in our programs are also listed on our website. And you can see in your county, wherever you live, what lenders participate in OFA homebuyer programs.
So after everything that we've really discussed today, what are some of the major takeaways that you wish everybody would know?
One of the common misconceptions is that you need to have 20% down to purchase a house. And I still see that on TV all the time. I still get questions from the general public about that. And that's not the truth, especially here with OFA as a state housing finance agency. If you're doing a conventional loan, our minimum down payment is 3%. And then if you're doing an FHA loan, our minimum down payment is 3.5%. So you do not need 20% down. And even if you weren't using OFA for down payment assistance, typically out there, the minimum is going to be 5% for conventional loans and then 3.5% for FHA loans. So you don't need 20% to purchase a house.
Finally, if you could have everybody read one book, what would it be?
Well, this is on the top of my mind just because I read it in the last year, but there's a book called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, and it talks about pushing yourself mentally, physically, and it's kind of opposite of what you hear, that you need to work on your strengths. He actually talks about working on all of your weaknesses, because your strengths are there, you know what you're good at, but hardening the things that you're really weak at. And so I read that earlier this year, and to give you an example, running is one thing that I absolutely hate doing. And so probably in my life, I've never run more than, let's say, 5 miles in a year. And so I didn't enjoy it. So I picked kind of that one thing in my life. And, you know, you can apply this to all different areas of your life. It doesn't just have to be physical. It can be all different things that you're working on. But so I picked that one thing, and I started running since January every week. And so up until this point, I've probably run 120 miles this year, where in the past, you know, I've barely run at all. But what's kind of funny is that the thing that I hated so much, running, I love now. And I'm doing almost every other day because it helps you mentally, physically. And but it's just a really good book. And there is a little bit of strong language in some chapters. I'll give you that caveat. But it's really good on getting you to think differently and focus on your weaknesses and making them your strengths.
No, that's great. Well, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us. To my listeners, please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to the Doorsteps podcast so that you don't miss any updates about housing issues in Ohio. You can also follow the podcast and other research that the Office of Housing Policy at the Ohio Housing Finance Agency does by following our Twitter account at Ohio Doorsteps. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Cody Price, and this is Doorsteps.